The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." My sisters and brothers, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord. May be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I remember having a conversation with my mom when I was growing up, and we were talking about love. My mom was trying to make the point that love is more than just words, but actions. And actions that we can easily take for granted. I recall her saying to me, it would never occur to you to ask me or your father if we're going to feed you today. I remember a light bulb going off in my head and thinking, she's absolutely right. Things like that just seemed automatic. It was such a given, it never occurred to me to ask. It also brought to mind the reality that there were kids my age that did have to wonder if their parents were going to feed them, if their parents were going to provide any other basic need or act that I would automatically expect. In this conversation, my mother was inviting me to contemplate not only the steadfast love of most parents towards their children, but the steadfast love of God. God's steadfast love is a constant action towards us. Can you think of the steadfast love that you've received from someone in your life? Someone in whom you never had to question their love for you and the many acts of that love that you may have easily taken for granted over the years because their love for you was or is so steadfast. I believe that in those relationships, that love that we experience gives us just a glimpse of the love that we receive from God. Because God just doesn't give love. God is love. That's what Christians say God is. God is love. And since God is love, God can't help but to create and share his love with all of his creation. All of this is brought into existence. Reality and existence as we know it is because of God's love, because of who we say God is. The French Reformed Church has various variations of their baptismal liturgy, and I may have shared this before, but it really gets to the heart of what we're saying in a God who loves us and continues to love us, but has loved us from even the beginning of time. Imagine a little one about to be baptized, hearing these, and in these words being uttered, and the whole congregation also hearing these words from the pastor. The pastor would say, "For you, little one, the Spirit of God moved over the waters of creation. And the Lord God made covenants with his people. It was for you that the Word of God became flesh and lived among us, full of grace and truth. For you, Jesus Christ suffered death, crying out at the end, 'It is finished.' For you, Christ triumphed over death, rose in newness of life, and ascended to rule over all. All of this was done for you, little one, though you do not know any of this yet. But we will continue to tell you this good news until it becomes your own. And so the promise of the gospel is fulfilled. We love because God first loved us." Imagine as community, we hear those words and are invited to share the love of God back and forth with each other, to nurture. That's what we're called to do when one is baptized, right? To nurture them in the faith and to remind them of the God who is love, continues to love and continues to be steadfast in his love towards them and each and every one of us. God comes to us. We love because God first loved us. God loves us first, and it is that love that unites us to God, that brings us into fellowship with God. So while the word love isn't uttered much in our readings this morning, God's act of love towards us is clearly apparent in our lessons. In our gospel text, John the Baptist is telling the crowds that one who is more powerful than I is coming, who we know to be Jesus, the Messiah. He will wash us with the Holy Spirit. We will be washed, baptized, and wrapped in the very Spirit that raises Jesus from the dead. God's steadfast love coming towards us, coming to us. Isaiah paints for us this image. Isaiah says, "Here is your God, and he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather his lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep." God who is love is like a shepherd. God who is love is coming to us who are lost. God who is love will feed us. God who is love will gather us up, hold us close, and carry us home. God is always searching for us, loving us, caring for us. Robert Barron gives a description of the Trinity, that the Father sends the Son down, right? That Jesus, this is what we're preparing for, right? But that the Son would go so low for us, so low, that if we run away from the Father, we're going to run into the Son, right? And God is going to gather us together. God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, will search all the ends of the earth for us. With the gift of the Holy Spirit, will raise us up and bring us home, bring us into that eternal love and life with God. Diane Jacobson believes that Psalm 85 is inviting us to walk along the path of God. And she says, along this path, we find that love, faithfulness, and righteousness and peace meet, kiss, spring up from below, and look down from above. That all-encompassing love of God surrounding us. Not God who is distant, but God who is with us, who is in us, right? We're not just praying to a God who's distant. Robert Barron also say, we're praying to a God who is with us and in us, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? God who is with us and in us. God who is our Emmanuel. But God who offers his steadfast love to us, yes, unites us to God, but the virtue of Christian love isn't just between us and God, but because we're called to be like God, to be Christ-like, what are we going to do with that love that we receive from God? It's going to, as God's love pours out and creates and is shared, our love is going to be a creating love and a sharing love to our neighbor, to all those around us. This is why Christmas, I believe, is grounded in acts of gifts and charity. Because we believe, as Christians, the God who is love came down to earth. Right? God who is love came down to earth and became human. Walks among us. So these traditions of gifts and charity have spilled over even into our secular culture, but grounded in a Christian understanding of God, who is love, becoming human. I would like to invite each of you to contemplate the part of our mission statement that says that we're sent into the community to share the love of Jesus. Think about that steadfast love that we receive from God. The love from a Savior that goes so low for us, right? That there's nothing we can't be forgiven for, right? This is the God in whom we encounter in Jesus Christ. This is the Son that the Father sends to save us. And that's the love that we're called to share with other people. Now, it'd be easy for me to say, now go and share that love with someone this week. But I believe this time of year, you're naturally doing this, right? You're naturally doing this out of a sense of your Christian charity, or let's face it, you're doing it out of a sense of cultural obligation. So I don't want to add one more thing to a busy holiday schedule, but I'd rather invite you to think of someone that you have received steadfast love from in your life, whether they're with the saints in heaven or still here on earth, and find a way to thank them for the steadfast love that they have shared and offered to you. Find a way to thank them. And as you contemplate that love and that relationship and get a glimpse of the steadfast love that we receive from our loving God, give thanks to our God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Give thanks to the God, the Father, who sends his Son to us. Give thanks to God, the Son, who goes so low for us that he dies for us on the cross and is buried for the forgiveness of our sins. Give thanks to God the Holy Spirit that raises the Son in us up to new and eternal life. The God who is love is one God in three, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And yet, the relationship that we see amongst with our understanding of the Holy Trinity is a communal act of love in itself, right? There's that one hymn that we sing, come join the dance of Trinity, right? And it is the love that God has between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that unites us with this God and brings us into fellowship and calls us home to him in this life and in the next. And so as you come forward this morning for the sacrament of Holy Communion, contemplate God's steadfast love as a path that has been paved for you in seeing clearly the path towards righteousness, the path towards freedom, the path towards eternal life. For God's steadfast love continues to come to us, and he will come to us in this meal, and you will hear the body of Christ given for you, the blood of Christ shed for you, that God's word, God's love, is still steadfast and active in our lives and breaking through in our world. God is coming to us. God is working in us. And may that love be known to all people. Thanks be to God. Amen.